Yeah, to be completely objective, if I was in running the playoff poll, I would probably have UCF at number five this week. And with the championship games coming up this weekend, if UCF were to take care of business against Memphis and somebody were to fall ahead of them, which could realistically happen, then they would be in the top four and be in the playoff. I mean, I think that would be – I think that's truthfully how things should be right now. But, you know, if we would just go to eight, it would have taken care of itself and UCF would be in the playoffs.
Yes, they would. And, you know, Scott, even if they were ranked number eight, then, and say that even if they had to go against Alabama or Clemson or however, they would have the
opportunity.
They would have the opportunity. That's all we're asking for is a seat at the table, right?
Oh, definitely a seat at the table, but sometimes a seat at the table might mean you take over the dinner.
That's right.
That's a good point.
I think with the attitude is okay. We're here. The best thing we could do is win, and the worst thing we could do is lose. And I think Central Florida, if they get a chance to sit at the table, they might come out like they did last year in the bowl game, and it was a close game, and they pulled it out.
Yeah, beat Auburn. Yeah,
and they beat Auburn, and you know, with a lot of speed and a lot of you know, good plays, offense and defense and special teams. So I think a lot of these lower-ranking schools are starting to push these bigger schools. I mean, you got the powerhouses like Alabama, Clemson, but some of these other lower echelon teams are getting knocked off by like a UCF and the Memphis and, you know, certain schools like that are in the AAC.
Hell, I mean, you look at it, we're god-awful this year. North Carolina's god-awful this year, but they're in the ACC. So theoretically, they should have beat us based on the conference they're in, right? But you know what? We beat them.
Yeah, like my father says, any given day, anybody can lose.
Yep.
Look at Duke. Oh, Duke is unstoppable. Duke lost.
Well, Duke got killed.
You know, so I'm talking basketball right now. So you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
they're unstoppable.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
I was wondering why you were saying they were unstoppable in football.
No, I'm just talking, you know, just sports.
Yeah.
You always get, they can't lose. They lost.
Yeah. Anybody can lose.
Anybody can lose on any given day.
I'm not sure this year's Alabama team can lose.
Alabama's a juggernaut. I mean, they're just well coached. And,
yeah.
You know, you got an All-American on the field. His backup is an All-American, and his backup is an All-American.
Yeah, I think they should play in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. I'm not
going to say
that, but they're good.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, Scott. I think when you look at the NCAA with the other sports, you know, you don't even have to, even outside of football, basketball, when you look at baseball, all the different sports, it's settled right there on the court, the field, whatever, you know. And for football, that's the one thing that drives me crazy is that college football could be as big, it's number two in America, but it could be as big as the NFL if they expanded the playoff at least to eight. But hopefully, I'm with you. I think every single conference should be represented and have six at large.
Yeah, I mean it should be that, but we're not the people in charge. I guess it's some computer in the back alley somewhere that's picking these teams.
Yeah, man, it's a group of. It's all about money. That's what it comes down to. It all comes down to money and them not wanting to split the money 10 ways when they could just split it 5 ways.
Definitely.
And another thing, we got robbed anyway because, Scott, as you know, I mean, the whole conference of the Big East, what we all grew up with the Big East knowing it to be imploded, but it was a power. We were a power league, and then
BCS league at the time, the Big East.
Yeah, and then they changed the name of the league, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, we've gone from look at all the teams that are in the league, and then some of them are gone. But I think the quality of football it surprised me. It's been way better than I expected, and I enjoy the basketball and the baseball. I think we've got the three big sports. I'll put them up against anybody. I really will.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, these what they call lower echelon baseball, basketball, they're coming for these big guys. And I think a lot of these you know, broadcasting stations don't want to see it. They just want to keep the people at the top at the top. And I hope every team go out there like an ECU and shock the world, and Indiana State shock the world, all these little guys. Show them, like, I think college football and basketball and baseball is starting to get really even with the athletes that you're getting. Some of these kids don't want to go to a big powerhouse school. Some of these kids want to stay home and play for their local colleges and show off their skills, and it's bringing a lot of recruits to certain schools.
You look at Holton Ahlers, for example, Scott. Holton could have gone, I mean, my God, Nick Saban calls you. I know it's 11th hour, but Dan Mullins, I mean, there were all these great
coaches. Florida, yeah. Florida, Dan Mullins, as soon as he went to Florida, started recruiting Holton.
And
yeah,
he could have gone anywhere.
And you hear a lot of people, oh, he can't throw. I don't know what games they were watching. That kid can throw.
He can throw. He needs an offensive line that can protect him and a better offensive coordinator. But he can definitely throw.
Oh, definitely. Very, very positive young man, and he's a general out on the field.
Yeah. Hey, talking about recruiting and staying close to home. You know, one of our biggest commitments for this upcoming signing class is the freshwater kid out of Elizabeth City Northeastern High School. And you know, from what I understand, you know, his commitment, as you alluded to, of talking about kids wanting to stay close to home, playing for their hometown school, so to speak. You know, his commitment has really nothing to do with the coaching staff and Coach Montgomery. From what I understand, he, being from Elizabeth City, he wanted to stay close to home but still play big-time college football, and East Carolina gave him that opportunity. So he didn't – you know, if you're a kid from Elizabeth City, I mean, Raleigh might as well be in, you know, Tennessee.
It's 3 hours away.
Yeah, so coming to Greenville is, you know, I guess, you know, I'm almost surprised – he wanted to stay that close to home. That's his primary reason for coming here. I wonder if Bobby Wilder and Old Dominion have a chance to get him. But I'm glad he's coming to East Carolina. And the reason he is he wanted to stay close to home. It seems like that is becoming a more common thing.
Yeah, definitely. I know with, you know, me coming from New Jersey, the schools I had an opportunity to go to, I kind of wanted to get away from New Jersey. But like I said, you know, these kids really want to stay home and put ECU back on the map. I mean, it's a slow process, but, you know, hopefully we get some good recruits in and, you know, whatever they decide to do, you know, hopefully it's a good situation for us.
Were you offered by Rutgers when you were being recruited?
Yes.
You were offered by Rutgers. And at the time, you know, Rutgers, well, right now Rutgers is terrible again, but they had a good run there for a while, but at the time Rutgers was god awful. So I guess that it wasn't appealing to you at all.
It was appealing to me, but they wanted me to play free safety.
Okay.
Okay.
You wanted the ball in your hand. I got you. Well, that's interesting that they, because you know Rutgers want no power, and ain't like they should have been, you know, been able to just. Like, you know, it ain't like they were Alabama where they were like, yeah, we'll recruit you, but you got to come play safety.
Yeah, but, I mean, when I first got to ECU, they wanted me to play linebacker just because I had a nose for the football. And I was like, well, I'm a running back. But
gotcha.
I was like, whatever you guys want me to do, I'll do. So I'm just a quote-unquote football player. Whatever has to be done will be done.
Right.
So you got guys now, oh, I'm just this. You know, I'm a scat back. I can't do this. I can't do that. It's like you have to have different levels to your game because, you know, being a football player, you should be able to have multi facets to your game.
No, I agree with you.
You wanted to play running back. Did you ever really want to play defense or definitely straight up 100% only running back?
Oh, I told them that's their decision. If they feel I would be suited to play linebacker, I will play it. You know, I didn't. You know, that from the airway, you know, you don't go against your coaches. Whatever the coaches say, you would just do.
Right.
So, you know what, I told him, wherever you want to put me, just put me. I bet you I'll play. So.
Well, I guess for the safety of the players on the opposing offense, you're oh, my gosh, I can't imagine that with the likes of Jeff Carr and you had Rod Coleman and Travis Darden on that. Oh, my God, I can't imagine. Playing with those guys on that side of the ball, but I'm glad you did what you did at East Carolina.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you.
Scott, I know that you're a big football fan. Are there some championship games that you're looking at this week?
Maybe a couple that I might watch. I have to work, so won't be too many games I'll be watching until I get home. So.
Yeah, the Alabama one is a big one. The Alabama-Georgia is huge.
Alabama-Georgia-Clemson.
I will watch the Alabama-Georgia just because that's, the national championship game played again, and you got some key components that won't be in there, but you got some new guys. So it should be a very interesting game.
A lot of interesting championship games this week. You got Alabama-Georgia. You got Clemson-Pitt. Which is just Pittsburgh won that division of the ACC. How bad was that division?
Yeah, bad.
UCF Memphis for the American. You got
Ohio State Northwestern.
Ohio State Northwestern. Yeah, again, that other side of the Big Ten was bad.
One of the ones I'm interested in is, believe it or not, I think one of the tightest games. I could be wrong. Is that Buffalo Northern Illinois? I would like that one.
I actually like Buffalo pretty big in that game.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do. Buffalo's really good.
No, I know they are.
Their basketball and football are both really good. Whoever their AD is excellent. Who the hell thought Buffalo suddenly would be a top 25 football and top 25 basketball program?
Yeah.
But Buffalo, Northern Illinois for the MAC. Conference USA, you got Western Kentucky and UAB.
Middle
Tennessee and UAB in a rematch from last weekend.
You probably had Western Kentucky on your mind because of what we were talking about yesterday on social media. There was that discussion
of Hugh Freeze
potentially being the man to be the next head coach at Western Kentucky.
That'd be a hell of a hire. And then right here in the great state of North Carolina, there's a championship game this weekend, fellas, up in Boone. Appalachian State Mountaineers hosting Louisiana Lafayette. The Sun Belt's having a conference championship for the first time ever. The first time ever they're playing a conference championship game, I should say.
Right.
And App State's going to host Louisiana Lafayette, and the winner is the Sun Belt champion.
There's going to be – yeah, there's a lot of, I know heard earlier
is
today
– By the way, Bubba, David, let me cut you off. Bubba, the coach at Lafayette, is this his first or second year there?
I want to say, I believe it's his first.
He's done a hell of a job taking us to the Western Division champion of the Sun Belt in the first year.
Yes. I had a question for you, Scott. As a former football player, East Carolina, you won a lot of games. It looks like that Coach Mo, we're not 100% sure, but it's looking like he may not be retained for next year. Are there any coaches out there that you would like to see? Have you been following closely on potential coaches out there that would be
who would be your top candidate?
I couldn't answer that. I'm not, I couldn't give you a definite answer. I mean, I just want somebody that's going to come and build a positive program first and foremost, but also help these kids graduate, because a lot of these kids really don't understand that, when football's over, they don't have another avenue. So, definitely somebody that's going to build the program, but also build, kids with education. So I just want somebody coming that's going to, if they decide to get rid of Mo, somebody come in and hopefully make a change. If they do keep Mo, I just want people to rally behind them and just give him the support he needs.
He needs more than support, Scott.
I wanted to ask you, is that something – as far as coaching, is that something you've ever wanted to do, Scott?
I thought about it from time to time. I get a lot of people that know me always say I should be coaching, but I've thought about it a lot more and more in my upper age, but, I haven't taken the chance. But, I mentor a lot of kids, just being with Coach Connors, just talking to them and, telling them, not to waste their time. Just because this time is precious. One minute you're 19, then the next minute you're 35.
Oh my God, you're so right. I mean, it feels like it's only been maybe 10, 15 years, and I've been out of East Carolina 23, going on 24.
I don't know about you guys, but when somebody says talks about the 90s, I immediately think, oh, well, yeah, that was like 10 years ago. No, yeah. That was 20 years ago.
Well, it depends, on what, it depends on what part of the 90s, because I've almost been graduated from high school 30 years, and it's been 30 years almost for the Peach Bowl, so it's just crazy.
Oh, my God.
Man, it's like, oh, my God, when you start thinking about that. But I tell you, the when it comes to East Carolina with football as king, and I know, Scott, with you, I tell you what, if there's anybody that could teach a kid how to run, definitely to get the yardage, it would definitely be you. And I would love to see at some point, if it's not East Carolina, I won't be selfish. If it's somewhere else, I would love for, if that's something you want to do, I would love to see you in coaching. I think you would be excellent.
Oh, thank you for the compliment.
Yeah.
The talking about NC State, which, you know, that's preview, we play State this weekend, obviously. Scott, we asked you about this back in July. The podcast party. But to ask you again, what are your memories of that game from 96 where you ran all over the Wolfpack defense all day?
Just the crowd, the atmosphere, you know, being in the Panther Stadium, just the crowd, you know, misty day, but the crowd coming out and supporting us, the team just playing almost a perfect game in every aspect, from, you know, special teams to, you know, kids that never had the chance to really play to get a chance to play, and, you know, just seeing the emotion of some of the people, you know, that watched the, you know, 91 Peach Bowl game and the games after that they played, just to be in the presence of some of the greatness at the stadium. And, you know, I don't take all the credit. I just want to be a person that, you know, went out on the field and did the best that I could do. But just the camaraderie of my teammates, some of my former teammates came here about 2 weeks ago, and it's just like we didn't miss a beat, even though we're older now. But, you know, we just talked about old times and things like that. But that State game, which I really didn't understand the magnitude of it until I played in it, but it's a rivalry that's just going to be where it's the Hatfields and the McCoys. But just like I said, that game in Charlotte was a great day for me, but just to see the reaction after the game and just the people cheering and, you know, talking with people and, you know, people crying and people laughing and, you know, having a good time. But, you know, just riding the bus, you know, back after the game, it was just surreal because, you know, people were like, you know, did you know what you did? And I'm like, no, we just played a football game. I'm like, you know, oblivious to what went on. But then, you know, now that I look back on it, it just puts a smile on my face that it could happen to a person like me, but also for East Carolina University.
You know, Scott, yeah. What I was thinking about is the very fact of, and I want to get your mindset on, maybe that's what I'm getting from you now, is when you're going through the game itself, how fast is that game? In other words, what I mean by that is, like, you're so focused on the game that you don't even I would think that most people, if they know their stats or they know, like, all that kind of stuff, then they're really not focused on what they're supposed to do, like their job, right?
Well, one thing my father always taught me is you let other people worry about the stats. That's why they got statisticians. So I'm not worried about stuff like that. I'm worried about getting positive yardage and not fumbling and taking care of my assignments. But like I said, after the game, when people surrounded me, I'm like, okay, what's going on? And then when somebody told me, it still didn't hit me. Ran into one of my good friends from high school that was covering the game. He was like, do you know what you did? And I'm like, no, like, what? And then he told me, and I'm like, okay. It's surreal, you know. People still, I get it. When I go out to dinner and people say, are you Scott Harley that plays football? And I'm like, yes, and, you know, that's one of the games they always speak of. So it was a good day, but more than anything, it was a good positive win for me and my teammates and my comrades.
We had one of your teammates on not long ago, Larry Shannon. And Larry scored a big touchdown. Well, yeah, I think he only had one touchdown in that game, but he made it memorable by pulling a flag out of his pants and running around the end zone waving it. And,
oh, yeah, definitely.
He said that Logan was a little peeved at him for that. What do you remember about that?
I mean, just it was a beautiful route. You know, Larry was, you know, like a Randy Moss. You know, Larry could, you know, 6'3", 6'4", could jump, and he made a good catch over the guy. And, you know, I didn't even know what was going on because I was running to the sideline. So then when I seen it on the monitor, it was just something to laugh at. I mean, yeah, we all got yelled at, but it was the last game of the season. We thought we could go to a bowl game, but some guys were like, you know, we're going to go out with a bang.
Yeah, it was.
What did you ever? I mean, the fact that NC State game, we hadn't played at that point. I'm sorry, but I was just going to make this point. For those that don't know, maybe new Pirate fans or the 20-somethings, that was a span where we played in the Peach Bowl in 91, early 92.
January 1st, 92.
January, yeah, 92. And we didn't play again until that was – what, end of November of 96?
Yeah. First time we played them in the regular season since 87.
Right.
And first time since the Peach Bowl. So it had been almost 5 years since we had played them. And
right.
Then almost 10 years since it was in the regular season.
And we had to get the politicians involved, Scott. I don't know if you remember that. We had to get the politicians involved in Raleigh to make NC State and North Carolina play us. If not, they probably wouldn't be playing us now.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I definitely remember that. I also remember the commercial that they had for that game with two old ladies going out.
Oh, yeah.
And they were fighting, and I always remember that commercial.
Great commercial. One was wearing purple, one was wearing red. The lady
yep.
in purple.
They were walking out of church, if I'm not mistaken.
They were, and yeah. Go ahead, Bubba.
I remember being at the Panthers game and them showing that because since it was obviously being played at Erickson Stadium as it was called then. But in addition to that wonderful day against the Wolfpack, of course, that 291 you put on the Gamecocks down in Columbia behind that tremendous offensive line with the likes of Jamie Gray is something that stands out. And, of course, that was in the rain as well. It seemed like some of your best days were in the rain and those sloppy conditions. But a game that I think maybe gets overlooked because of those tremendous days you had against the Wolfpack and Gamecocks is the day that you had against Ohio U. It was a crazy game. I think we had like a 55-24 lead, but then ended up winning by 10 because they made a comeback when we pulled our defensive starters. But anyway, in that ball game, you ran for 6 touchdowns. Do you have memories of that one?
Oh, yeah, I have very good memories. Just, you know, great game plan, you know, defense, that was a hard offense to stop. They ran that option, and they ran it very good. But it was just an all-around fight. We got ahead, and that team kept plugging and plugging, and, you know, we had to put our defensive starters back in because they didn't give up.
Right. That was Jim Grobe before he came
right.
down to Wake Forest.
Oh, that's right. And
it was interesting. We have played Ohio 3 times ever. And all 3 games were really close, tight games because we've played them when they've had good coaches. We played them twice under Jim Grobe in 96 and in 98.
Yeah, up there in Athens.
Exactly, won by a touchdown in the rain. And then we played them in the bowl game in 2013 with the current head coach, former Nebraska coach.
Frank Solich.
Frank Solich.
Yeah.
So one thing about Ohio U is they've hired a couple of good coaches there with Jim Grobe and Solich, but we only play them when they have good coaches because they've gone long periods of time in between Jim Grobe and Frank Solich when they were terrible.
I remember that game. Wasn't that was it the 96 or 98? One of those games was a homecoming, if my memory serves me right.
96 was Greenville. 98 was in Ohio.
That's right.
Yeah.
96 was I believe that was the homecoming game for ECU that year.
For some reason, I thought we played Arkansas State for homecoming that year. I don't know.
I don't remember.
Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Bubba, you don't.
No,
remember
I don't. I don't
crap.
Recall. I think that may be right, but I'm not sure. But
well,
something that stands out about that. About that Ohio U game was I was talking about us bringing our defensive starters back in, not only because the game was getting closer, but I think when it was 55-24, we had that streak going where we hadn't allowed a touchdown or maybe even a point, but at least a touchdown in the fourth quarter. And a lot had been made of that leading up to that. So I remember y'all sudden see all our defensive starters sprinting back onto the field down in the red zone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Our defense took that. I mean, they worked on getting in shape, and they didn't want to give up any points in the fourth quarter. I mean, a lot of guys now, are sucking wind in the fourth quarter, but, that's just the mastermind of Jeff Connors.
I think a lot of Coach Connors, and hopefully we can have him again on the
– Are y'all ever concerned? It's Scott Harley, you've played for Connors, and David, you've talked to Jeff Connors quite a few times. Are y'all ever concerned that is it Jeff Connors' head is going to explode one day?
No.
It's intense, man.
He has a passion for the game. He has a passion for training people to get them in tip-top shape. So when you go to your coaches, he know he's done his job. His job is to get people in shape, whether you need to lose weight or to gain strength. That's his job. So he takes it seriously.
Yeah, he's an intense dude. I mean, I'm just telling you, he is always just intense. I mean, he's a good guy. I remember he got mad at our headphones at the podcast party. Like,
you took the words out of my mouth, Kyle. I was about to say, do y'all remember the nostalgia party when he about broke the table and the headphones?
He is intense.
Oh, yeah, he's very intense. He's still intense, like I can remember it, but he gets a guy who might not be a good athlete and makes him into a good athlete physically and mentally. A lot of the game is played mentally.
Yeah.
If he embeds in your mind that, look, if nobody's going to dominate me, I'm going to dominate you, you're not going to get past me. And a lot of times that's what happens on the field, just with some of the stories that he's told us, some of the people that he's brought in. He's got our mental capacity trained, and the physical capacity just took over.
Yeah. There.
I was going to say, he says, one of his things he says is match my intensity. I love that when he says that. And you don't want to have a guy that's too nice of a guy to be your strength and conditioning coach, right? I'm not saying Coach Connors is a bad guy. I'm just saying he knows how to push you and to perform at a level that greater than you can ever imagine, especially when you're East Carolina. You need a guy like him because we always talk about on the podcast the coach coaching them up. From that vantage point, I think he does a really good job of coaching the players up as far as believing in them probably more than they believe in themselves.
Oh, definitely. I've seen guys working out, throw up, go change their shirt and come right back and get right back in there and finish their set. So he has – when you go into them doors with him, it's no game.
Dave, you want to take a look at this matchup as far as ECU and NC State and a quick look at the series in general?
Go ahead, Bubba.
So this will be the 30th meeting between the Pirates and the Wolfpack. Of course, we're going in. I know it opened at 25 points. Have you guys seen the line today? Has it come down at all?
I haven't looked. They got some players suspended for the first half.
I'm trying to see if we have more eligibility for Scott. Scott, can you can we suit you up on Saturday?
No, sir. I'm not going out there.
I doubt the line's moved, Bubba. I mean, with the situation we got going on with the coaching situation, I mean, it could be a motivating factor for our guys, but it could also be a huge distraction.
Right. And as you say, Kyle, they do have those three guys suspended. Freddie Phillips Jr., he's a redshirt junior, but I'm not sure. I hadn't familiarized myself with him. I don't know exactly what his position is, but I do know that the other two is a redshirt senior left tackle who's the starter, and then their right tackle, who's also the starter. So hopefully Nate Harvey and company can take advantage of that in the first half. But
I had a question for you.
I was just going to say the Wolfpack lead the series 16-13 all time, and early on they dominated several close games, but NC State led it 10-3 at one point. But we've won 10 out of the last 16, including 3 straight and 8 of 12. And then, of course, in the most recent meeting was in Coach Moe's first season in game 2. and we took NC State down 33-30 that year.
And the kicker for NC State missed, get this, 4 field goals against us, okay? And if you remember, he also could have been the hero in that Clemson game in 2016 and missed a field goal there too. So that was pretty – I felt bad.
Just throw him under the bus. Yeah, I'm
sure. No, no, no.
I feel bad for him bringing that up 2 years later. Jesus Christ.
An interesting note about that kicker, if you recall back earlier.
Oh, follow up to the big kicker, the poor kicker. No,
but remember, we had Zaim Kumalai on, and that kicker was from Zaim's high school.
You know, I hear that kicker also kicks puppies. That's how he practices his field goal. He kicks puppies.
Oh, my God.
But speaking of the kicker, and their kicker now is tremendous. He's a freshman. He's from my high school, North Davidson, which is here in Lexington, just south of Winston-Salem. But Christopher Dunn, he's 18 of 21 on the year. So, unfortunately, I don't think we'll have that luck on Saturday of their kicker missing 3 or 4 field goals.
No, Scott, I was going to ask you, one of the problems we've had, especially under Mo, has been the running game. And you being a running back, you're the expert, not us. I know we have had trouble with the offensive line. Is there any way that we can run the football, you think, against NC State or any team? Is there something that we're missing out on in intangibles or something that maybe the team could do to improve? I know you're not going to improve in 1 week, but maybe something we've been missing out on?
Just got to get the offensive line a different attitude. And, you know, they got the guys capable to run the ball, but they just don't have an alleyway to run through. So, I mean, all I can say is, you know, just hopefully the guys just get a little nasty attitude and, you know, try to open up a hole, open up a hole for the guy to run through. So,
I mean, you look at and that's one thing, Scott, that you got Darius Penix is a little bit banged up, but you got Trace Christian, you have Anthony Scott, and obviously
Hassan Howell.
And those 4 guys, and it's not like we don't have talent at running back. My God, no. We've got 4 guys that are in the stable there.
Well, I'll tell you, David, one thing you have to do to be able to run the ball is to try to run the ball. I mean, one thing I can assure you is you're not going to pick up rushing yards if you're not trying to run the ball. When the guy with the most rushing attempts on your football team is your quarterback, then you're not using your running backs properly. I mean,
Yeah, what do you think, Scott? Is there any, like we were saying, with the Holt? What I'm worried about, Scott, is with Holton, is it's kind of like going to the well too many times. And he's a beast. He's amazing as far as an athlete. But I'm just worried about, he's our future, and I'm just worried about getting him hurt. And there's a chance that it looks like Ifedi's going to transfer. I'm not sure about Reed. But my worry is that you're going to get him banged up. And then what do you do?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he's taking a lot of shots. So, I mean, hopefully we could get a little running game so he doesn't have to, you know, drop back. And, you know, the offensive line has to give him some time. So, I mean, we just got to get these guys support and, you know, just rally behind them because, you know, they've been hearing it all year about, you know, losing and stuff like that. We just got to be fans and support them.
Yeah, and that's one thing. Want to be clear here on the podcast, we said our opinions and we've been negative and all, what the players, and maybe, you know, the players still take this personally because it's their coaches, but when we're being critical of the coaching staff. I never blame an 18, 22-year-old kid for what's going on out there on the football field. I blame the guys getting the paychecks. So let me ask you a question about the running back position, Scott. Alluded to earlier, we don't try to run the ball that much. You played the position at a high level and were tremendous. Do you believe, as I do, that sometimes a damn kid has to get laddered up? Sometimes you just got to keep feeding the running back the ball, and eventually he's going to break one. Some guys, just as the game goes, they just start running stronger.
I agree with you in a way, but sometimes if it's not there, it's just not there, so you're going to run the ball 3 times and then punt. You're gonna come back and do the same thing. I mean, I understand getting the guy lathered up, but there's no holes. There's no holes. A lot of those guys were recruited to be pass blockers, not a downfield, you know, pull, and kick a guy out and have another guy come up the hole. So you just got to do whatever you got to do. But, I mean, it's tough. It's a tough situation. Just looking at it from an offensive standpoint, it's very tough because, you know, to me it's like the offense will go, you know, all the way down the field and get down to the goal line, and we really don't have like a goal line package or anything. So
that's one of the things that's been frustrating, and I want to get your opinion when it comes to Tony Peterson, the offensive coordinator. One thing that's frustrating, it seems like between the 20s, between the 30s, if you will, man, we can put up video game kind of numbers, right? But the most important stat is to win the football game. And the frustrating thing for me has been watching it, even though I'm uneducated, I'm not a football player, have coached it. But it just seems like we do very well, and then we get to the red zone and we just die. And then we pray that we can – you can't swap 3 for 7. In other words, you can't kick field goals. And if they're scoring 7, I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but I'm smart enough to know that that's a 4-point difference each time, and they're going to definitely win the game if you get you trade a field goal, you're trading touchdowns for field goals. So,
yeah, it's tough because, you know, we definitely got a good field goal kicker, but you definitely want, you know, 7 points as opposed to 3. But like I said, I mean, hopefully this week, I've seen them practice. They're practicing hard. They're practicing fast. So, I mean, hopefully they find a little bit of dog in them and just come out Saturday and play like there's no tomorrow.
Right. Let's do the we do like to wrap up our show, and we appreciate you being on. We want to do really quickly before we get out of here predictions for the game. I'm not going to put you on the spot yet. I don't know if you do predictions, but I'll go with Kyle first.
I don't have a problem with doing a prediction.
Okay, go ahead. Go for it.
ECU 24, NC State 17.
All right, so you got the upset. That would be, oh, my God, that would be
that ain't
that
no
be
upset.
Tremendous.
We going to win.
If you don't believe you're going to win, there's no point in going out there and play, right?
Yeah, stay home.
I like it. I'll take your score any day of the week, my friend, no doubt about it. And I love your confidence. And, you know, if there's any kind of as Debbie Yell would say, we have a psychological advantage. We won 3 straight. So, and another thing to mention that I was going to mention earlier, and I just realized I forgot because of my age, I'm getting old, is the fact of it's a rivalry game. You can throw everything out the window. And yes, NC State may be on paper, their record as far as their year, all that kind of stuff has been going on, has been good. We've had a tough year. But when you get out on the field, those guys might be playing for pride. You never know what's going to happen until you play the game.
Most definitely.
What do you think, Kyle? Are you going to be Scott, I love his optimism. Do you think there's any way that East Carolina can pull it off?
Absolutely. Sure, there's a way. I mean, we're going to come out. Anytime we're playing NC State, we're going to come out with a chip on our shoulder, be fired up, and try to knock off the Wolfpack. It's a rivalry. So anytime, you know, it's a rivalry, you know, you can quote-unquote throw the record books out the window.
Right.
With that said, I think the guys will come out and play hard, knowing Scott. That's right. Knowing Scott's my coverage job is on the line. And I think the guys will come out and play hard for him, too. I think it's a 24-point spread. I think we'll cover that just because it's NC State. I think we'll be super competitive for the first half. I just think their running game is going to wear down our defense as the game goes. And I'll go NC State 37, East Carolina 21.
Okay, that's closer than I expected you to say. What about you, Bubba?
I'm like Kyle, just when you take a look at this matchup, you take a look at NC State's offense, obviously they have a tremendous quarterback in Ryan Finley, a guy that we played against 2 years ago after he had transferred in from Boise State. That's what he's thrown for, I think, right at 3,300, yards this year, 21 touchdowns, 8 picks. And then Kyle referenced Reggie Gillespie in that ground game of NC State. That's what he has less than 800 yards, but I mean, some of that's maybe, I don't know how well NC State blocks it up in the running game, and then also the success that Finley's had through the air. But Gillespie does have 16 touchdowns, and five of those came last week against UNC.
Yeah, he's gotten much better at the end of the season.
And another thing to keep an eye on, guys, is I talked about their starting tackles, both of them being out, at least for the first half. That's what they've only allowed 8 sacks all year, which is just tremendous. And then conversely, on the defensive side of things, they've generated 33 sacks. And
I didn't realize that, Bubba.
and you know, here lately, what an issue we've had protecting Holton, to say the least. So I'm just afraid of the issues we could have there. And that's if Holton, and we'll see. Hopefully Holton's playing, but and whether it's Holton or Reed, either way.
I wish you hadn't told me that.
But I just don't. I don't think we'll be able to block them well enough. I do think, like Kyle said, that I don't think State will cover that 24.5-point spread. But I think his score of 37-21 could probably be pretty accurate.
Well, I'm going to go last, and I'm going to break from both of you guys, because normally I would not be as positive, but just like I did with UNC, nobody's given us a chance to win. I think we win we're going to win a close one. I think it's going to be by a field goal. I think Verity wins the game. I'm going to go 31-28. I think Nate Harvey, by the way, I was going to mention to you, Scott, your good buddy, our guy back in the day in our time period, he has a chance to break Rod Coleman's single season record for sacks. So we'll see we'll see if that happens. But Nate Harvey has been playing out of his mind. And it comes down to, again, I don't know about the running game, but those they got to find a way to eliminate those explosive plays. If we have a whole bunch of explosive plays, obviously we stand no chance. But I like it 31-28. I've been debating all day, going back and forth. But I think a Jake Faraday field goal, he's been tremendous. And I just see I think that State has more to lose. We have nothing to lose with the game. And so we play very well against ACC schools. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. We'll be here on the weekend and we'll win it. So, but I appreciate you coming on, Scott. You've been tremendous. And I know you've spent a lot of time with us. And I'm praying that, just like you and me, I'm praying we can find a way to get a victory on Saturday.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right, for Scott Harley and for Kyle from LaGrange Barber and for Bubba Rosenbaum, I'm Dave Richmond from the Sports Objective Podcast.